Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 73 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. This episode of the podcast brought to you by our good friends at Vortex Canada. Vortex, the power of optics. So on the show today, I'm going to address head on the issue with the Section 74 challenges. Apparently, the video that I made turned out to be controversial to some people. And then right after that, I'm going to bring on Wilson. She actually has a couple of thoughts and opinions on what we did with the Section 74 challenges as well. And she's got a really important CCFR update, including a hint to something big that we've been working on for about a month. And it might be, it could be the biggest thing we ever did. So anyway, stay tuned for that. Okay. Now, to explain all this stuff, maybe a little bit more clearly for those that don't either misunderstand it or don't agree with it, the decision that we are not going to just coordinate mass filings of Section 74 challenges. This is going to take about 10, 15 minutes, okay? So stick with me if you're interested. First thing that needs to be dealt with is the mission of the CCFR. And if you've been a supporter for some time, you should be familiar with it, right? Because it hasn't changed. It's expanded, certainly. You've watched that kind of happen over the years, but at its core, it's the same. And basically, we are an advocacy organization teaching through education. Basically, we're the public relations department of our community. You know, our mission is to show non-gun-owning mainstream Canadians who gun owners really are and to teach them the laws and teach them the, just inform them about the topic more so they're not susceptible to the government's misleading efforts on, you know, why Canadians own guns, and show these people who gun owners really are, right? They're honest, hardworking, safe, responsible, law-abiding citizens. They're your friends and neighbors, all that stuff that you've heard me say, you know, relentlessly, right? This is what our mission is, right? Because if Canadians have a negative view of gun owners, they will support whatever the Liberal government wants to roll out. They would support our doors getting kicked in. Okay. And people, I think people don't get that. This is why after 40 years of firearm advocacy and millions and tens of millions of dollars given to advocacy groups, here we are again, and we got our guns banned. Okay. That's why, because what was happening before was not working. And the impression that other Canadians have is important. Whether you think it's fair or whether you like it or not, it's important. So our job is also specifically to represent gun owners as not the angry, potentially violent, anarchistic, burn it all down people that the media and the government portray us to be. That's our job, okay? Now, as a gun owner, or I guess any other interested party, you have a choice to support the CCFR and its mission or not, okay? And or you can support another organization. And you might support them because you think they're either going to make you feel good, right? Kind of a rah, rah, rah thing as a gun owner, or maybe they actually advance your interests. And you know what? For some people, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. So in our business, which is advocacy, there's a number of competing interests. And as a business leader, you should know what those competing interests are if you want to run a business that's going to be successful. And the CCFR has been wildly successful. Okay. You can, and in our business, you can do things that directly benefit gun owners, right? So accomplishing mission objectives, that's important. And it's mission first. I'll tell you that right off the bat at the CCFR. Everything comes after the mission objectives. You can also do things to make gun owners feel good, okay? Keep them engaged, active, optimistic, motivated, and there's value in that. That's an important aspect of our business. And there's also raising money and spending money, okay? These are the basic components of everyday decision-making that happen. Now, some other factors that undermine good decision-making, right? When you weigh all these things properly, that's good decision-making. And something that we see a lot in our community are some other factors, which are self-interest. Self-indulgence is a huge one, and general incompetence is huge in our, I mean, it's huge in everyday business, and those businesses fail. So it's up to market forces to do that. But in our community, we have a lot of those things, and they cause a lot of bad decision-making. Okay. But I could talk about that all day and give you 100 examples, but we're going to keep going. So sometimes these competing interests, right? The four that I talked about are served by doing the same things. They're all served more or less equally by a decision. So I'm going to give you an example, the TV show. Okay, it motivates gun owners, right? It invokes pride and makes gun owners feel good and gives them a good look at their own community and how great it is. And it provides mission critical assets, right? In this case, tools, media tools that have never existed before to help you show, not just tell Canadians, right, but help you show them why guns are important to us and what a great community we have so that they can identify, they can humanize gun owners. And we had to spend money on it because it was a project and we raised money from it. So ignoring all the details, easy decision, okay? Made everybody happy and it was successful. All right, now some decisions have to be made and you have no choice. You have to make a decision and take some action on them, okay? And the results of the decision don't serve all the interests equally. And those you would call difficult decisions, right? Because there's no perfect outcome. A competent leader weighs those competing interests, considers the risk, the benefits, does it serve the mission objectives, right? All those things. But there's really two concepts in corporate leadership, right? Does that decision make sense today, in 2 months, in 2 years, and 10 years? You got to think about that because those are different perspectives on the same decision. And also remember, you live with good decisions for a month and you live with bad decisions for a decade. Okay, and that's just a reality in business. Which brings us to this decision. This is one with conflicting interests. It wasn't going to make everybody happy, and it had a disproportionate influence on one interest in particular, and that was how it served our mission objectives, right? And at the CCFR, it's mission first. The CCFR has to survive. It can't lose its credibility, or it's going to have a diminished capacity to accomplish its mission. And so that's going to require some hard decisions. So is clogging the courts going to negatively affect the image of gun owners in the eyes of the public or not? And the answer is yeah. Would gun owners be truly responsible for the consequences of clogging the courts? The answer is no. Is it fair? The answer is no, but it's reality. Are gun owners at risk of being perceived as responsible for clogging the courts? Is that something that the media and the Liberal Party can do to us? And the answer is yes. Okay, in fact, we would be setting ourselves up for that as an organization, right? Not as individual gun owners. You know, people would be like, well, gun owners have done this. They're like, well, what gun owners? And why did they do it? But when they can point to an organization and say, the CCFR, the gun lobby, coordinated this, it's a completely different feeling, okay? And I'm going to give you some examples of things that aren't fair that we've had to deal with and that should give you a good sense of what reality is. We got a lot of people in our community that they don't operate in reality. I mean, you guys know that. You've seen that, right? Same thing with government. So I'm going to give you some examples. Despite everything that the CCFR has done in the last 4.5 years, Angus Reid can still come out with a poll and say and claim that 80% of the Canadian public support a ban on assault weapons. Okay, forget for a second that assault weapons aren't available for anyone to buy, right? They've been banned since 1977. So that in itself should give you like, what? You know, and 80% of that 80% don't even know what the current laws are or even know what an assault weapon is. They think it's something on television, okay? I'm going to give you another example. These are important for you to consider. Many people in Canada think that gang shootings in Toronto are gun owners' fault. Is it true? Absolutely not. Do people think it and will vote or support things based on this, you know, soundbite? Yeah, absolutely. So in another one, probably the best one, the majority of crime guns come from domestic sources. You guys remember that? That was Blair and Goodale, supported by Trudeau, and that was the basis. That was the battle cry for Bill C-71. Well, when they came out with that stuff, every media outlet in Canada covered it. You know, they covered it relentlessly, okay? It became a fact, right? One of their fabricated facts. And then a month later, it came out that wasn't true at all. And the RCMP itself and the firearms program and the tracing program don't even keep those numbers, right? And we know where that data came from, and it was really bad, right? It came from Peel Region Police and Toronto. And it was contradicted that claim. How many media outlets covered that? I think it was two. Okay, so is that fair? Is that true? Is that right? No, of course not, but it's reality. That's what we're facing. We have a bought and paid for media and a Liberal Party that is unrecognizable from the Liberal Party of, you know, of your parents. Okay, it's unrecognizable. So is there a benefit to gun owners by filing these applications? The answer to that is possibly too likely. We don't know that yet. And there's some things going on between the wording of the, you know, of the revocation, or is it a revocation, all that stuff. I'm not going to comment on that because it's slightly subjective. But is there a benefit? I think there is. Okay. Is it wrong for gun owners to file one of these challenges? Absolutely not. I said that in the video itself. So some people just glossed over or jettisoned everything I said this to support that entirely and just focused on the fact that the CCFR isn't going to actually coordinate the filing of these, right? You're always going to file it yourself, but we were going to coordinate. It was going to be a call to action. That's all we were going to, we weren't going to do anything. We are not filing it for you. I think Wilson's going to say something about that too, right? Because she's been getting messages. So again, this is, I think some people, especially negative people, wanted, they heard what they wanted to hear and then they ran with it. Okay. So the decision is, how do we get the benefits of doing this and minimize the damage? Because you can't have both in this situation. So we chose to keep the CCFR as an organization clean because it has a mission to accomplish, not burn it all down in a week from now. The CCFR has to continue to accomplish its mission for the next 10 years. Okay. So I chose to make a video about it also, right? So that individual gun owners would have the information that they needed so that they can make their own decisions to file. Okay. And keep in mind that the overall result probably is going to end up the same with thousands or tens of thousands of applications clogging the courts regardless. This was part of the reason why I made the decisions that I did. All right. Which brings me to some of the reactions we've gotten. So some of those have ranged between I'm disappointed or I disagree to the CCFR just lost my support to someone's been bribed, bought off or threatened or we're cowards and all kinds of other crazy stuff. Okay. So I'm disappointed or I disagree. Perfect. It's constructive. It's reasonable. And I listen to that kind of stuff, right? I reevaluate my decisions two or three times, especially if they're important decisions. I have no problem reevaluating and changing direction if I'm wrong. It's not an issue with me as an individual, right? The CCFR just lost my support. Well, 4.5 years of unprecedented work on behalf of gun owners, and it's over, right? Over this. It just seems a little self-destructive to me. All right. So anyway, I'm not going to say anything more about that. And then someone's been bribed or we're cowards or we've been threatened or any of that other stuff. I don't have anything to say about that. And that gets no cooperation from me whatsoever. Because in the real world, not online, in the real world, how can you start a, how do you create a conversation out of that, right? It's impossible, you know? And that's not a conversation that's going to get anywhere. So this is, these are people that have made up their minds. And apparently, you know, we work for the liberals, right? And I've had to deal with people that approach communication like that since we started the CCFR. And unfortunately, that just kind of disqualifies you from the conversation because I can't make anything out of that, right? I'm not going to answer like, do you work for the UN? It's like, well, what? You know, if I worked for the UN, I just wouldn't have done any of the work that we did in the 4.5 years and the gun control movement would have been way farther ahead. So anyway, so the reactions, I think, in reality are created by a couple of things, you know, the decent ones, right? Which are, number one, I think people just don't understand what it is we do. You know, we're not a burn it all down group. We're a public relations organization trying to increase the positive image of gun owners. That's what we do. Another possibility is that people are commenting they can't control their emotions and their frustration, and they got to lash out any way that they can. And I understand that because I'm frustrated too. Okay, like really frustrated, probably just as frustrated as people that would write that kind of stuff on the internet. But I'm not frustrated enough to destroy myself or destroy the CCFR as a result. Okay, I'm not there yet. And another possibility, people may legitimately disagree or see things differently than me, and that's real and that's reasonable. You know, as a leader, you know, I listen to that stuff. You know, as I said, okay, I listen to those things. So anyway, I will protect the CCFR and its mission above all else. I will not burn down the CCFR to please people on the internet. I'm not going to do it. Okay, so, and I think the best way to maybe phrase this is, I'm not willing to lob a softball to the Liberal Party and their media to destroy the reputation of the CCFR, when in all reality, we'll probably have the same number of challenges filed anyway. Okay, so the CCFR has a lot of work to do. And so I'm not willing to burn its reputation for one particular issue. We have other things that we're doing as well. Okay, so most of the CCFR members, I think, out there support us because they know that we think things through before we do them. I mean, if you're looking for groups that don't think things through or just do things to you know, to fuel your anger, then there's groups out there that do that kind of stuff. They're not going to push your interests very far ahead, but you know, they're there if that's what makes you feel good. So You know, decisions like this don't make me feel good, but it's the right decision regardless. So I hope that clears up a few things for you guys. And, you know, just keep in mind that it's okay for us to disagree sometimes, right? Because we will never agree 100% of the time. And the even the members of the CCFR and hardcore supporters, and I've seen it over this issue, we will never agree. We will never make them happy 100% of the time. And that's just life, man. If that's what people if that's what some people expect from their relationships, it's going to be a hard life because it's just not reality. Anyway, hopefully that clears things up. Anyway, I know that Wilson has some things to say about this as well. So I'll be right back with her right after this. Hey, everybody. This is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, on the Skype, I've got Wilson. Wilson.
Geltaka, how's it going? Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Well, I got a couple things going on. We've got some great new products coming to the store soon, so everybody keep an eye on our social media because I will be sure to post those up. And of course, they will be on the website. We've also got some products that sort of went out of stock simply because they've been selling like crazy, which is great. Thank you to everybody for supporting the store, which of course is a fundraiser to support your projects. So anyways, we've got a bunch of stuff on restock, on reorder. It's all coming in. Stay the course. Things are coming. So the store is very exciting right now. There's lots going on. Also, I just wanted to address, I know it seems like the big talk nowadays, but with these Section 74 challenge conversation that's going around, I know there's some mixed reviews about the CCFR's decision. I can't say that I disagree with you, with the folks out there, because I also struggle with it, and I will probably be filing a Section 74 challenge to my letter personally, but that's what I'm doing as a person, and I encourage everybody to make their own decision, do what's right for them. But what I wanted to address was there seems to be some sort of misconception. I'm getting a lot of comments or PMs to the page or even in email form where people are saying, hey, you know, I thought I could count on the CCFR to file these for me, or why aren't you guys filing these mass challenges for us? And here's the thing. The CCFR was never going to file that for you. That's not how any of this works. This was always going to be up to the individual to file their respective Section 74 challenges to the RCMP based on the letters they received. What we were considering doing, of course, was a call to action, which the point of that would be more of a, you know, a political type protest move to clog the courts, which of course we've decided against as the leadership of the organization. So I just to clarify, the only thing that's different here is instead of saying, hey, everybody, let's all get together and file together, we're saying, you know what, make your own decision. So it's not like the CCFR, there was something that we were going to do for you specifically, you know, other than a call to action. Now, there's also a lot of questions floating around on social media because filing a Section 74 challenge varies province to province. Some provinces seem to have a pre-form that you could fill out. Other provinces do not. So we've got a whole group of people people who have been sort of working on figuring out, for those that do want to file one, how would they would go about that. And I'm going to compile that. Now, it's not a call to action. It's just simply providing a service to the members who are looking for help in and have made up their decisions. So anyways, I will get that together in the coming days and get that up on the website. Once again, it's up to you to do whatever you feel is right. And then,
I think you've made a good point. The whole role that the CCFR was going to play was to recommend an action and to coordinate it ourselves, right? A call to action and all the rest of that stuff. And that's the only thing that we're not doing as an organization. You're going to probably file one. You never know. I might file one as well. But it was about the reputation of the organization as well. So there wasn't one entity to point to and say, hey, you know, it was the CCFR, therefore diminishing our reputation. So a lot of people, they misunderstand that. And I think you made a great point. Some people are like, oh, you were going to file 10,000 applications on behalf. I'm like, no, man. We're just going to alert you and say, hey, this is what we recommend doing. And as people, we might be saying that, but as an organization, we chose not to. So yeah, nothing really, again, I think a lot of it is misunderstanding what our role in that whole thing was to begin with, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, instead of saying, hey guys, here's a form, we're doing this as a form of protest, fill it out, we're saying, do what you think is right. And if you want to do it, here's the form. That's literally all it boils down to. So I think it's been a little bit overblown on social media, one side or the other. Most people understand where we're coming from. And hopefully after listening to this podcast, it's clearer to everybody. And like I said, we'll get that information up for those who are interested in doing it. It's a little bit, you know, it's going to be a fruitless effort. But, you know, I feel like sticking it to the man too. So I understand. So well, anyway,
it might not be that altogether fruitless though. Right. Well, so that, you know, I want to acknowledge that too. So.
Right. And then of course, today is July 22nd, which 2 years ago today was a horrible day for the people of Toronto. We are today currently the 2 year anniversary of the Danforth shooting. So this was a heinous, thoughtless crime that was committed by an unlicensed madman. It was sort of the catalyst for a couple of anti-gun lobby groups that have popped up. Of course, the Canadian Doctors for Protection from Guns, or whatever their ridiculous name is. They were sort of born out of this tragedy, as well as the Danforth Families group. I think it's Danforth Families for Safer Communities. They're a Twitter group. But you know, unfortunately, I it's very frustrating for me because as a mom and a grandma and somebody who lives in an urban center, and I can't help but feel awful for the victims, like any normal, you know, humanoid would feel. However, I feel that I read the statement that the Danforth families put out, and it's, of course, just asking for one simple thing, which is gun control, which is a gun ban. They're looking for a handgun ban. And I almost feel like it sort of excuses the responsibility that should be, you know, the blame should be placed directly on the person who committed the crime. And I sort of feel like it victimizes gun owners. I mean, I don't want to wear the collective blame for a crime that I would never in a million years would even consider committing. Gun owners didn't do this to them. But at the same time, I also notice, as with all the other anti-gun type groups, that, you know, when you look at who makes up that group, it's not necessarily who is in the group that you should notice, but who's not. And there are quite a few victims or families of victims that have really distanced themselves from these groups. So that in itself says something. It speaks for itself. And, you know, just so everyone knows, they don't speak for everybody, right? So mm-hmm. I think we need to, you know, as a hardworking Canadian who wants a better community, I would like to continue sort of the mandate we've been pushing, and that's, you know, credible work on crime, mental health initiatives, youth, at-risk youth initiatives, and investing in community programming. If we don't ever look at the root causes of the violence, We're never going to solve it. We're never going to slow it down, and people are going to continue to suffer. So, you know, I don't want to go on too long about it because today should be a day to remember the victims. And I think I'll leave it at that. But yeah, just something for people to think about.
Yeah, it's always attacking gun owners for the acts of you know, for one person. And again, as you said, that guy was unlicensed. It was a stolen gun, you know, funneled to him through his brother, who is a known gang member and terrorist, really. And it's funny, they don't want to call it terror. It was a total terror attack. Mm-hmm. And his brother was sitting on 47 kilograms of carfentanil, enough to kill 2 billion people. That's how much carfentanil he had, which had no street value as a drug. And all kinds of, details just get glossed right over. Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
It wasn't a terror attack. It wasn't ideological and indiscriminate, you know, violence against Canadians, you know, in general. It was, this is about gun control. And it's just, it's so disingenuous. And it, you know, bad movements like that make very poor memorials. But anyway.
Yeah, they do. And then I'll leave it on a positive note. I want everybody who's listening to this to keep a very keen eye on our social media and our website coming this Friday because, well, social media for sure. I'm going to be dropping something very exciting. So I'm not going to give too much of a hint because I want to keep everybody on the edge of their seats. But for those of you who are a little discouraged this week, getting your naughty letters from the RCMP, stay the course because we've got exciting news coming on Friday.
Well, it's not news. It's a hint of news.
It's a hint of news. Yes.
But you can think about it for the 2 weeks till the announcement comes out.
Yeah.
Stew on it.
We're creating a rumor mill is what we're doing basically.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's one of the biggest things we've ever done.
It is. And, you know, it's funny. I think back to in the early years of the CCFR, you know, and how we thought, well, you know, maybe we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to try this. And at the end of the day, it's like we just end up having to do everything because, I'm not going to toot our own horn, but it just seems like the silence is deafening out there. And if we're not doing it and rallying the troops together, then nobody is. So, yeah, I think people are in for some good news. We'll do it in our usual CCFR fashion. And there's something really cool on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for telling us about that. Have you got anything else?
I think that's it for today. That's about it.
Okay. Well, awesome. I appreciate you giving us an update and taking that burden off me because I got so many other things going on. I can't, I called you and I'm like, oh, do you want to do an update? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, well, think of something.
Yeah. Well, no, I've always got lots of things. And actually I lied. I've got one last thing to go out. Now, don't everybody email me asking me when you're going to get yours.
No more lies, please.
No more lies. Yeah. Unlike the government, I'm going to tell you the absolute truth right now, right here today. And the truth is that, excuse me, as you remember, last year for memberships that were renewed, so not brand new memberships, a brand new member always gets their membership card, which is their permanent membership card. This is something we started doing a couple years back because you can only have so many plastic useless cards in your wallet before it's kind of annoying. And I would rather give people something that they can use. So last year we sent out those really cool 2019 member patches and they were sort of like die cut patches. They were really sharp and they went over really well. Well, we have something totally different for this year that everybody who is a renewing, like a returning member, will be receiving. And of course, for family memberships, both spouses will be receiving one. So your envelope will have two. And what it is the coolest CCFR challenge coin ever. So Staffer Steve, big shout out to him. He worked really hard to make a super cool design. There is 1,500 pounds of challenge coins that I have to go pick up on Friday. And as everyone knows, I blew my back out. So I'm going to have to call Colin and see if he'll come and give me a hand. But yeah, I've got a whole load of challenge coins to go pick up and start getting these out to renewing members. So thank you everyone for your patience. It was very difficult to get supplies in throughout the COVID shutdown, but they have arrived. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. And I've got a great team put together. So next week we will start stuffing tens of thousands of envelopes and get those out to you guys. So a big thank you to everyone for renewing their faith in the CCFR and to continuing to support the good work that we do here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what? One more thing, probably just a quick announcement. I think Stavros Steve will put it in the email newsletter, but people that are still waiting for their cards, some of our cards came back.
This was a bit of a mess. I go to check the mail and it's a PO box, right? So you get I got my key and I open it up and there's a little card in there saying, go to the desk. So I go to the desk and she's got this giant bag of mail for me that obviously wouldn't fit in the box. So I'm like, oh wow. Like this is a lot of mail.
Maybe they're checks.
Yeah, right. I get out to the car and I'm looking through them and I'm like, wait a minute. The return address is ours. So I'm like, are we mailing stuff to ourselves? And what happened is in the new member packages that go out, it's basically a welcome letter from you, Rod, and their membership card. And it's a letter that's folded. So, of course, on a formal letter, you have the person it's to and their address up at the top and then the person it's from down at the bottom. Well, they folded them wrong. They folded them opposite and basically mailed everybody's membership cards to me, which thank you very much, but that's not where they're going. Anyways, I called them. They were devastated. It's an automatic folding machine, so it just means they put the paper in upside down. They sent a courier to my door. He was here in under 30 minutes. They came straight to the door of my house, picked these up, repackaged them, and get them back out that same day. So if you're one of those guys, I'm sorry that you were even delayed even longer, but they did good on fixing the problem as quickly as possible. But yeah, these things happen, right? We're all coming back off, these places are coming back off COVID relief and, you know, a little bit of screw ups. They're all behind in all their jobs and, you know, so things just trying to push along too quick and mistakes were made. So I do apologize for that, but stay the course. And give us another week or two. If you are a member who signed up during the COVID shutdown and you still haven't received it by then, pop an email to info@firearmrights.ca or member@firearmrights.ca. And we will take a look and see, but yeah, they should be coming. I know I keep saying that, but it's the process is fixed. So, yeah.
Well, and it was, when COVID hit, the company that we use, they shut down. So they weren't doing anything, you know, unlike the firearms program, the printer was not just fictitiously broken. And there was nobody there to run the printer.
Yeah. Right. They've come back to work, like our print shop, and they've got our jobs all up to date. And trust me, there was lots. Like it was out of control. We had a lot of support come in, of course, during the COVID shutdown, because we were just coming off of the May 1 gun ban and people were really rallying behind us. It was amazing support. So yeah, there was a huge backlog there, but I believe they are caught up, and then they had this one little mistake to fix. I will go tomorrow and check if more of those did arrive in the mailbox. If they did, I'll just drop them off and get them resent out. But yeah, a little bit of mess getting this stuff out, but mm-hmm. we're all trying to recover from this COVID disaster. So I think, I think we're well on our way to getting back to normal around here.
Well, again, we really appreciate everyone's support. Sorry for the cards being so late. This is beyond our control. And I know that the cards actually mean a lot to some people. So, you know, for that, like I said, sorry about the delay and really appreciate you hanging in there with us. But anyway, the cards are on their way if you don't have them already.
Absolutely. And for all you people who are renewing members, don't forget to keep an eye on the mail in the coming weeks. And those challenge coins should start going out next week. So yeah, as long as I can figure out how to pick up 1,500 pounds of challenge coins. So
what do you mean, you people?
You people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Anyway, well, thanks for coming on, Tracy. Really appreciate the update. And everybody look forward to a little teaser graphic that Tracy's going to be posting everywhere. And make sure you share it around and speculate for the next 2 weeks on what it might be. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 73 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening and sharing this podcast. It's important information for all of our community to get. You know, it's there are tough decisions. This wasn't the first tough decision we've had to make as an organization. It won't be the last, right? Remember what it is that we do for a living over here. We're going to mainstream Canadians and advocating for people to have, AR-15s and handguns. And that's totally reasonable, but it's a really difficult message to convey and it requires a lot of really careful decision-making. So again, we're not going to agree 100% of the time, but I think we're going to agree about 95% of the time. And that's a lot better than a lot of things out there. So anyway, thanks to Tracy Wilson for all of her hard work and coming on today and giving us an update. And again, thanks to Vortex, the power of optics, Vortex Canada for helping us out. Don't forget, become a member, donate directly to the Legal Trust. That really will really help us. We've got the biggest case ever, as you guys know, and something really big, maybe even bigger, coming up soon. So become a member, donate if you can. Make sure you sign all the e-petitions out there. And take care, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.